Here he is. Yay. Start now.
Grand entrance.
We need our Larry. Yes.
Get your lower.
Okay, it's 5:30. We're calling the meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Pastor Ralph, would you help us out?
Well, according to a well-known rodent in Pennsylvania, we've got 6 more weeks of winter coming. Fortunately, we live in Texas. We can tell them they can keep their winter.
Yeah.
I've had enough of it. I don't know about any of y'all.
Amen.
Let's pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all of our doings with your most gracious favor. And further us with your continual help. With all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, may obtain everlasting life. We come to you at this time asking that your presence might be upon this meeting of the leaders of our city, asking that you watch over and guide them in their endeavors. Give them uprightness of heart and passion for truth. Make them wise, fair, and impartial in their decisions. Through their work, accomplish your holy and gracious will in our midst, so that all that they do might be for the greater good of all the residents of this city of Atlanta. In your holy name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Ralph. Okay. We have no public comments concerning matters not on the agenda.
I signed up. Sorry.
For matters not on the agenda?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you... G5. Oh, you want a regular... Okay. I just looked for the number. All right. Come on up, Jed. Sorry, I missed that.
Thanks. I just wanted to use this opportunity to suggest with all the matters that are maybe on the agenda or at this meeting or the other one that I haven't been able to attend, I really wish we would take the advice of the consultant that told us we should drill a horizontal well under the reservoir so we can capture as much water as we want without having to be beholden to LCRA or anyone else. And I haven't seen much action looking into that, so I hope we've taken a lot of money in loans and a lot of money in grants, and I think it's all kind of for naught if we just could drill under the bed of the river, which doesn't have LCRAs. It's below their jurisdiction, but will hold as much water. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Unfortunately, we have to go into executive session. Let me read. The City Council will convene into executive session in accordance with the Texas Government Code 551.071 to consult with city attorneys regarding legal matters. And you know they charge by the hour, so we need to get in there and talk to them. 5:33. We'll be back as soon as we can. Okay, 6:45. The City Council will reconvene in the open session for discussion and possible action regarding legal... Oh, yeah, 6:45, I did say the time. Regarding legal matters regarding a settlement of potential claims. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to authorize the city manager and the city attorney to settle claims with parameters discussed in executive session.
Okay. It's on. It's on. It's just not. There you go. It was on. Here, read it
again. We'll just share. Okay. A motion to authorize the city manager and city attorney to settle claim within the parameters discussed in executive session.
Do I? Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The City Council will reconvene in open session for discussion and possible action regarding legal matters regarding the purchase of real property.
Motion to authorize the City Manager to decline the offer on Lot 1 of Llano Oaks.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion? All right.
Hold on 2 seconds. I have 2 seconds.
Oh, I heard him. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. The City Council will reconvene in open session for discussion and possible action regarding legal matters regarding possible offer of incentives under a 380 agreement for a residential housing development. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to authorize the City Manager to negotiate the terms of the development agreement with parameters discussed in executive session and to bring the agreement to Council for consideration.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a third and a fourth and a second. Okay, any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, City Council reconvene in open session for discussion and possible action regarding legal matters regarding Ares versus City of Lano.
Motion to designate the City Manager as the corporate representative in matter of Ares versus the City of Lano.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries.
I'm going to give that to Kim.
Okay. Thank you. All right, consent agenda items. We have three items on the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Is there any correction? Was there a correction that you all talked about earlier?
Yes, I've discussed with her. There's one typo as far as time starting on one of the meetings.
I'll make a motion with that correction.
Okay.
Correcting the time.
All right, I have a motion.
Second.
I have a second. Any more discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Oh, I'm not used to wearing glasses, but I'm getting old. Regular agenda items. Discussion and possible action to approve resolution R-2026-09, calling for and giving notice of the May 2nd, 2026 general election for the City of Lano for the purpose of electing three aldermen at large. Kim?
We've already voted on the contract with the county. This is just calling for the election.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve.
I have a motion and a second. Thanks, Larry. Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, now we're getting to the good stuff. Discussion and number two, discussion and consider a construction contract with DC Meyer for improvements to Robinson Park. I do have a comment. Michael, would you like to share your thoughts on that?
Mayor, members of the commission, ladies and gentlemen. My only question, Mayor, is are there any renderings of what the final outcome of these improvements are going to look like?
I've seen them, but...
It's not really a rendering. It's a drawing. And it has, the depth in which she's going to cut and things like that, but it's not a drawing. It's what a blueprint you would want to look at. No.
Okay. All right. So I guess my follow-up question is this in the 100-year flood? And if it is, have all the appropriate permits been issued and acquired to be able to construct in the 100-year flood?
I do not know if it's in the 100-year flood. Is it? It's in the 100-year floodplain. Okay. Thank you, Jerry Don. So a lot of our parks are, so the stuff in the parks gets wet.
I understand that, but...
It will get done, if that's what you're asking.
And that's what I'm asking.
Yes. We're not going to do anything.
You can't just build in 100-year flood and expect not to have some kind of a fine for doing so. They may even make it carry back down again.
Well, I mean, this is rocks and dirt.
Yeah, that doesn't make any difference to them.
To who? Who's the 100-year flood police?
TCEQ.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool.
So there are a part, depending on how much soil you disturb, but whether you have to have a SWIP plan, associated with that. One of my questions is, kind of in light of some recent incidents or whatever, does this fall within the requirements of engineering? There are certain requirements of whether it's monetary or whatever, just making sure that we are okay. And if we're changing, it says accessibility. So if we're talking about people being able to
whether it's the steps or the ramp, or because I haven't seen the drawing, so I don't know what all is truly included, but that we've vetted it and make sure that we are compliant, whether it's ADA compliant or other.
Yeah, we'd be happy to follow up on all those questions. What you have before you is not a construction contract. We're simply trying to explain to you, and this kind of morphed a little bit over the last couple of weeks of our discussions. We wanted to let you know that the allocation, of course, went to the Land O'Parks Project, who will financially administer the project. We have offered the city to review the scope and assist with such things as utility issues, as well as monitor progress of the construction. So I don't really know that you need to make a motion. If you wanted to make a motion for me to, to do some additional due diligence on the project, we could certainly include that in your motion. But we just wanted to finalize the construction scope and timing, and to provide general oversight of the project.
Okay. So,
I'll need to recommend a motion to authorize the city manager to draft and finalize construction scope and timing and provide general oversight of the project.
Okay.
And of course, that would be any permitting and all of that.
A second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Number three, discuss and consider action to amendment to master fee schedule for bulk water and hydrant meter fee. I have a couple of folks on this. Michael, you want to go ahead?
Once again, Mayor, members of the council, ladies and gentlemen. My question on this is the bulk rate going to be different from the commercial rate?
I don't know. Yes.
And also, council, you're... purpose of public comments is for you to receive testimony from the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a back and forth or a cross examination or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but certainly it's been a practice. If you wanted to answer those questions, you certainly can, or you can direct them to staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're saying it is different than commercial?
I believe so. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, my humble opinion. And I'm sure that I actually taking into consideration some of the business owners here, it seems like someone is getting a bigger break than they are when you look at the impact that they have on our economy, local businesses versus someone who hauls water off-site would be different. We should have better consideration for our business owners. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. File, Bob.
Thank you all for allowing me to get something off my chest here. Water has been an issue for many years. Because of lack of action in years past, we now have a problem we can no longer ignore. The City Council put off an inevitable action for several meetings that had to be taken in raising the water rate across the citizens of Lanark. At the last City Council meeting during the bulk water agenda, our discussion, one local contractor who is a bulk water user expressed his concern regarding the rate increase from 2 cents to 5 cents a gallon. His comment was that it would cost him $200 per truckload, and sometimes they use 20 to 30 truckloads on a single project. During the discussion on the bulk water rates, we learned from Carol Hewitt that it cost the city 4.5 cents to produce a gallon of bulk water. Four of you are business owners, but two members appear to be willing to negotiate with bulk water users for rates below the cost of producing the water. As business owners, you must be aware that the costs are passed on to the consumer. So businesses that produce bulk water, purchase bulk water from the city, pass that cost on to their consumers, likely adding to the actual cost of the water. You are the leaders of our city government, but representatives of the community, all of us. not just vote to show up at a meeting to complain. Lano is actually a business. One of the reasons Lano is in the current state of affairs that it is that the leaders have failed to run the city and the business. Deals with local businesses, whether the bulk water rates or greening a facility, ends up costing all the taxpayers of Lano in the form of higher electric bills, water rates, and taxes. Giving away to the use of our assets, already lose money, giving away the use of our assets that already lose money. Donating to local organizations $10,000 to the Boys and Girls Club simply because they ask is a tax on all residents. Leave those of us who can and want contribute to their own charities of choice. Government is an enabler, not an investor.
Thank you. Okay. All right, Finley, what do you have to add to this?
Just want to refer to the summary page and maybe just a couple of little corrections. Currently, you're charging $20 per thousand. The cost that Kara talked about previously in terms of the cost to treat the water was $4.70 a thousand. $4.78. So if you translate that, that's not 4 cents. That's 0.00. That's less than half of a penny for the cost. So if they are paying a premium. If you look at a rate of 3 cents per gallon, that would be $30 per thousand, and so on. Just the other thing I'd point out is Kara did reach out to a couple of other communities. Burnett's pricing is dependent on their conservation stage at 3 cents, or in stage one or two, and 3 or 4 cents at six cents per gallon at stage three or four. Mm-hmm. Marble Falls charges a flat rate of $5.14 per thousand gallons, which is about half a penny. We took a look at the last couple of years. City sold 282,000 gallons of bulk water. That grossed about $5,600. If we had changed that and that had been a nickel per gallon for $50 per thousand, it would have produced $14,000. The difference is about $8,400. FY25, we did not sell as much bulk water, almost 180,000 gallons of water, grossing about $3,500, $3,600. Had that price been a nickel per gallon, it would have produced about $8,900 or a difference of about $5,300. The hydrant meter fee, currently $320, proposed at a rate of the 3-inch meter, currently at $357. And that, just because I wanted some perspective about what is the cost recovery on the meter, those typically run about $1,500, I think, plus some shipping. But again, it is... I think if you wanted to consider something of an additional penny or more, you certainly could. In the grand scheme of things, even over the last couple of years, it would have made about a $14,000 difference over the last 2 years if you went from 2 cents to 5 cents.
Okay.
And I believe our commercial rate, does it go beyond $20 a gallon? $1,000?
$15.
So our current commercial rate is about 15 and some change, 1,000 gallons. And so even if you stay where you are, you're going to be bringing in, $20 a 1,000 gallons.
Okay. All righty. So do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to increase the bulk water rate to 3 cents per gallon. Or the alternative of taking, no, 3 cents a gallon, sorry, I'm just reading what you heard on there. So increasing it to what the staff recommends.
Okay.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, number four, discuss and consider minimum charge for rental of JOK and Lantex Theater. I feel like we have a few folks.
I would like to make a little announcement.
Okay.
A little statement. Since we have been kind of diving into all of this, it has been brought to my attention the amount of money that the Junior Livestock Show has put into our building out there. And since erection, they put just approximately $500,000 to date. So when we say we're giving something for free, we're really just paying them back. And we're probably, guess this, and this is an estimate on my part, we're probably still about $200,000 owed to them. And I feel like we do need to get together, have a conversation with their group, some representatives from the city. I would also like to see us try to get together and form a committee to fundraise for the JLK. And for a better word than what we've been using, partner with them and try to make this the best we can make it. But we need to let all the general public know that we're not just giving this away to them. We are really, in fact, paying them back. And we have a contract that I think we really didn't know the end result was. It's kind of in perpetuity at this point. But we should kind of say, okay, it's going to take another 10 years for, at the rate, if they don't put another penny into it, another 10 years at least of giving that to them. I can't say for free, but giving it to them at no cost because we owe them money. So I would like to see us kind of get together, talk about it, and maybe put this to rest for another good 10 years and talk about it then. However, I do think we need to have some kind of a regular minimum fee that we propose on other things, not them, but other groups that help us with our cost. And then we can do a case-by-case basis if we so deem that we need to give it to them for free. That's all.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Okay, Josh, Rhodey.
Thank you all for letting me speak. Like Kelly said, I'm president of the Junior's Livestock Show Association, and I'm not very much of a speaker, but we have put in over $500,000. We have put in over $500,000 since the inception of this building. I was actually on the EDC board when we designed and built this facility. I think, were you there when...
Not the JLK, but the arena.
The arena. You were there when we built the arena. But the JLK Center was designed for the stock show, and like more estate... or more trust put in, I think, well over $500,000 as well. I think $600,000, $800,000. You know, to make a facility for the stock show and for the youth of Wyoming County. And you know, when we built it, we put in $100,000 for the initial build. You know, it was a great building, but you couldn't hear anything when you were trying to use a PA system. Yeah. So we put in another $120,000. For installation, sound insulation and speakers, and you know, we bought panels that we could use for the facility. You know, when y'all rent it out to another show, or you know, these jackpot shows sometimes come in, we rent them our panels, but the panels are there so that y'all can rent them. There's a whole lot of people in this community, but this was built for the youth of Wyoming County, and that's what we're trying to protect. I don't have much else to say, but...
Well, I've given everybody the sheet that you gave me, and it does have the numbers on it, which I appreciate having that. I knew this before, but I'm glad the rest of us got that. And, yeah, partnership, 2018. Gail Lane signed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was a
while ago. All right, thank you. Michael, you also wanted to speak on this?
probably don't get tired of seeing you. But anyway, my only question to this, actually my recommendation was that you don't have the item up there of the backup documentation. But when I read through it, there is a deposit on both the JLK, the use, and there's a deposit for the Atlantex Theater. Mm-hmm. And it says it's refundable. Well, yeah, and again, I want everybody to succeed and whatnot, but one of the things that our city's faced with is financial. And so if you could actually consider taking in the deposit, but only giving 50% of it back, which is not unusual to do that, I think the city would be a lot better off in the long run. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I say something about that?
Sure.
It seems like with Kelly's point and the gentleman from the stock show, you guys can still create a minimum charge for this stuff, but can't we put this, anybody who's putting money into the facility, can't you have like a balance sheet that shows how much they've invested, and once that is depleted, then they just subject to the minimum rental fee. I think that would be so you don't have
or they keep adding to the facility.
If they keep adding to the facility, then it goes on the balance.
That's more likely. They're going to keep adding to the facility.
So that might be a way that you can solve this while keeping a minimum, but also debiting like a balance sheet for people who put into the facility. That's all.
That's an idea. Thank you. Finley and I did talk about this. I think I'm with Kelly on in getting a committee together where we just talk about, where we have a lot of clarity about what things cost, and then when we're sitting up here, we don't get to talk about this beforehand because that's against the law. So we're sitting up here, and we're being presented with the school wants to use the Lantex, or somebody else wants to use the JLK, and it's very hard in that moment to make those decisions, especially when somebody is standing in front of us. So what we want to do ultimately is clarity is kindness, make sure that we're all on the same page, know what the costs are, and then come up with a system or some kind of thing to come up with that we already kind of have an idea of what we're going to do rather than just whack-a-mole depending on if we like the person or not, So, anyway, that's something we've been talking about. Kelly, I like your idea. So, do I have a motion on this?
I would say no motion needed, and we do need to try to get together and go forward and
I think so.
Talk, at least sit down and make some kind of a partnership on
clarity.
Trying to see this succeed and do fundraising because, the golf course, they do fundraising by doing golf tournaments. We need to do something for the JLK.
Well, I know George has some things in mind for the Lantex as well for fundraising for that. So, yeah. Okay.
I'm assuming that not everybody in this room and definitely not everybody watching this has read everything, but just to be clear, as we talk about the stock show, I assume everybody in this room is a proponent of contract sanctity. I definitely am. We have a contract with the stock show that says they can use it on certain dates at no charge. Mm-hmm. It would be absurd for us to try to overturn that contract. Now, it might be prudent for us to sit down and talk as we did. I think everybody wants the JLK, the Lantex, the golf course to succeed. I definitely do. I do think also for those that don't participate in the stock show or don't participate in things like the wild game dinner, the amount of money that it's not reflected on the financial statement, but the amount of money that those events bring into the community for scholarships, for different charity organizations is tremendous. That is not to say that we want that asset to lose money, but it is very relevant, and you're not going to see it when you look at a balance sheet or an income statement. So I'm 100% aligned with Kelly. I think we need to sit down and talk. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, you're going to find there are certain organizations, whether due to a contract or for some other reason, that might have different rules that apply, but it's hard to... We're not going to make a rule that is true for 100% of those that want to use it.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate one thing. Keeping a balance sheet is great, but they're probably going to be constantly contributing one way or the other because it's constantly being used by them. So maybe we do need to step back and say, let's just adhere to the dates, and there's not any, you know, questions about those. But once we, you know, get this group together and talk, we need to kind of put this to bed and not talk about it again. It shouldn't come up every time we have an election or new people on the board just because they don't know what has actually happened. And I don't know how we go about doing that, but, and I am the one that, you know, brought this up, especially with the electric side of things. You know, so I understand, but if we owe them money, it's really dumb for us to, you know, bite the hand that feeds you. So that's all I'd say is I think we need to kind of be done with it, put it to bed, and then look at things as a case-to-case basis.
Okay. So we will not have a motion on this, correct? All righty. We're done with four. Number five, discuss and consider action terms and benefits of a firm water contract between the City of Llano and the Lower Colorado River Authority. Okay, I've got...
Mayor?
Yes.
I would like to recuse myself from the conversation.
Okay. Thank you, Alderman Gilliland. All right. Bye, y'all. All those people. All right, Michael, I've got several folks that want to speak on this, so I'll just go in the order of my little stack here. Michael!
Very simple. This is definitely something that has both been in the media and talked about town, discussed groups, discussion groups. I mean, it has been debated left and right. And I hope that this commission actually is listening to the residents, the citizens of Llano, me being one of them, that this is a bad deal. This is a bad deal for us. I don't really... want to give up my water rights and have someone else dictate to me when I'm supposed to be on a drop. If you look at anybody that's downstream right now, you can actually look at all the reports, and everybody's already in stage one and getting ready to go into stage two drops, which would adversely affect us if we enter into this contract. So I really would like for you all to consider and turn it down. Listen to the people. They're talking to you. Please, you know, take their consideration. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, our next one is Linda Stevens. Linda?
Well, I'm going to echo what Michael said. This is a bad deal. This is a proposed contract, and I'm not at all sure that if we enter into this contract, that the LCRA can guarantee us water, which is the way it's put out, that it'll be a guarantee or an insurance policy in times of drought. But given the fact that we were told they're certainly not going to run a pipeline to us, nor truck it in, we're upstream from the lakes, from the source of the LCRA water. There is logically no way that an upstream community can sign a contract like this and get any benefit from it. It might work fine if you're downstream of the lakes, but not here, because we're going to run out of water before they do. So short of them, you know, bringing water to us, how is it ever going to be there for us? We're going to be dry long before they are. They've got big lakes and a much larger river to draw from. How does it work? I mean, water does not flow uphill. So how are they going to guarantee us this water? And if the answer is, well, they'll just tell us that we can now pump a certain amount. Well, if that's the case, we run low on water in July. And we say, okay, well, we need our 450 acre feet, or whatever the number was. They're going to come up here and say, well, you've already sucked out 600 acre feet, you know, so you've already hit your water. Unless, you know, I may be wrong, and I on Facebook, I said this, if somebody can prove me wrong, I'm open to it. But there just doesn't seem to be any logic to this contract. And a contract requires someone to, you know, provide a service or do an act and consideration from the other party. In this case, it would be money from us and water from them. But if there's no means of their coming through with their side of the contract, it's not a real contract. If there's no built-in methodology for them to, in a time of drought, get this 450 acre feet of water to us, it's not even a contract. It's like buying an insurance policy from a company that has no assets. It's not a policy. So I think it's a bad deal, and I think that there are several people who would like to have been here tonight that feel the same way, but they're ill at this particular time. So thank you all for listening.
Thank you. Hey, Larry. Larry Houston.
Well, thank you all again for letting me speak tonight. I would like to speak tonight about the farm water contract and the drought contingency plan with the LCRA. Let me first say that I'm against anything that takes control away from the citizens of Lando over their water source. It seems to me that $8,200 per year, which could, by the way, be increased at some time in the future, as the LCRA intends to do, could be put to much better use than paying for water that we will not even be able to obtain. If there is no flow, we have no water. Recent communication between city manager and the LCRA is an indication that they couldn't care less about us or our needs. The idea that an area which is growing exponentially can control the water to our small town seems most unfavorable to the citizens of Lando. We have one source of water lost in the area as multiple sources and are now planning to provide water for other municipalities via tunnels under Lake Travis. Why should our 2,000 plus users be held captive over the millions of users in the greater Austin area? If the city of Austin calls on our senior water rights and tries to force us to open the floodgates, it would seem to me to be a rather foolish decision. How much of the water from our lake would actually make it to Lake Travis? It appears to be a wasteful endeavor. Historically and logically, Lando will run out of water before it goes downstream. The LCRA is unable to promise us any water at all. This contract for them is at best something they cannot provide, at worst a con for money we do not have. Thank you.
Thank you. Panel in Houston.
Good evening. First, I'd like to thank you, Madam Mayor and City Council, for your time and dedication. I'd also like to thank Josh, our water department, and his employees for their hard work and timely repairs during this freezing temperatures. As a resident on Moore Street who was affected on several times over the last week, I appreciate the Facebook notices. They were very effective and useful. Great job. Thank you. Mr. Finley, thank you for leading us forward as our city manager. I appreciate you taking the job. I am against the firm water contract between the City of Lando and the Lower Colorado River Authority, which I will refer to as the LCRA. I am also against the draft of the Water Conservation Plan, the WCP, and the Drought Contingency Plan, DCP. I believe adding $82,000 to the budget per year, and that could possibly be increased yearly, is not fiscally sound or a good deal for us as citizens to absorb. The river is our only source and our only resource for water. From watching how the LCRA has dealt with other cities and towns in the past, it is not an entity that keeps its word, nor does it fulfill its word by their contracts. Mr. Finley has proven this point by recently in his submission of questions and his report to the LCRA. They danced around in not answering of questions, dodging the facts with statements unrelated to his information. LCRA does not care about our water rights or needs or supplies. but only has to monopolize on our precious water commodity. Why should we go bankrupt as a city for downstream water usage, waste, and overspending for Austin and other cities? The LCRA is full of empty promises at excessive financial cost to the residents of the city of Llano, many of whom are economically struggling and unable to increase their fixed earnings. We as citizens and council need to work together to survive. Water is our life. I urge this board to consider the voices you are hearing tonight, your constituents that believe in you to do the right thing and voted for you to do what is best for Llano and us, to say no to the LCRA from stealing our water rights and our survival for our future generations. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Jed Darlin.
Wow, so many speakers, they've got really good points. I'm against this giving away our rights to LCRA. I have personal experience. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I will. I was the only member of the public to attend their water, the LCRA-led water plan in, I believe it was in 2024. I went there and had comments and was public comments at four occasions and was repeatedly interrupted and threatened and actually escorted to my vehicle by an armed security guard and met with their law enforcement arm, which is crazy that they have one because they're not really a government entity, but the LCRA Rangers. They asked me to leave public property, telling me that it was private property at the Redbud Center, repeatedly. And, of course, I knew my rights, and I left, and I attended their next meeting. But when I attended their next meeting, I realized that LCRA had created a BOLO document with my photo on it, Be on the Lookout for Jed Darlin. They had photos of vehicles that I don't even have on this contact, warning them about me, because I pointed out how their water plan was akin to the United Nations Agenda 21, Chapter 18 on water rights. These people are not our friends. They didn't once say, well, this is why it's not, Mr. Darlin. They just threatened me, had an armed security guard take me out to my vehicle so they could collect my license plate number. When I asked them not to follow me anymore, I was intercepted by two of their rangers. And then there's a public document with my photograph. They scoured my social media and put photos of vehicles that I don't even have in Texas. So this is not an organization that we want to be beholden to. There is no way that our city should be giving up anything to somebody who strong arms citizens showing up. I was the only person of 43 counties in our region. And they treated me like I was a criminal just for asking questions. It went further than that. Their attorney tried to defend their actions and managed to with the attorney general, but I made a complaint because they stifled my First Amendment rights to make comments. Anyway, when I pointed out to them that they were following an agenda, and there were engineering firms that we hire, Friesen Nichols, there was another one that was on that. They all have information on their websites about the United Nations Agenda 21 and the Sustainable Development Goals. Let's not go down that road in Llano. It's pointless. Because they're not the last stop. Okay? They're just following orders, I'm sure. But keep Llano, Llano. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. Okay, Steve Duncan. It's all my paper.
My last?
Yes, your last. Not on purpose, it's just because yours is bigger.
That's
yours would have hidden the others.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I'm not going to get into some of the negatives about the LCRA directly, but our city manager contacted the LCRA, and he asked clear, practical questions about how this contract would actually function throughout senior rights coastal areas. The very conditions Llano could face. These are direct, operational questions that any responsible council needs answered before committing to a long-term, expensive agreement. The LCRA did not provide honest, specific answers to those questions. The most important operational details remain completely unaddressed. I found this disrespectful to our city manager. Without straightforward, detailed answers to our city manager's questions, the council does not have sufficient, reliable information to make an informed decision on this contract. What good is a contract for firm water that will never be available to us in a severe drought? When the Lanao River stops flowing, we can only rely on what is stored in our two lakes. Nothing else will be flowing back upstream to us. As one of our residents recently commented in the Lanao Inquirer, and I quote, "Regardless of how you calculate it, 487 acre-feet of nothing is still nothing. And 487 acre-feet of no river flow and empty reservoirs still equals no water for the city of Lanao. And if that happens, unless there is something we are all missing in the unanswered questions, the pending LCRA firm water contract would be of no value to the city of Lanao." And I give the quote of Patty Fister. "If approved in its current form, Lanao citizens would be subject to the whims of the LCRA on water restrictions. Restrictions tied to conditions downstream of the Highland Lakes, regardless of the actual status of our Lanao River and our two water storage lakes. We would be placed in permanent year-round water restrictions regardless of the status and flow of the Lanao River. As it is, we have only limited control over the water that flows in our river. This contract would appear to take away whatever limited control we do have to manage our city during drought conditions. After all the discussions our city council has had on this subject for the past 6 months, I do not see any benefit to the city of Lanao to continue to pursue this contract. It gives away control of our drought contingency plans and water conservation plans to the LCRA for no obvious benefit to the city. This is not in the best interest of Lanao residents who are already paying higher rates and deserve to know exactly what they're getting in return. The Lanao River is the lifeblood of our city and should not be placed under the total control of an entity that does not necessarily have our best interests at heart. I believe it would be far better for our city to continue pursuing more cost-effective solutions such as dredging the river and obtaining permits for increased storage. This is a much more cost-effective way to maintain sufficient storage to weather the long drought." Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am?
May I have a comment?
Sure.
Thank you. So for the cost of $82,000 for 2 years, that would probably pay for a horizontal well to be drilled. It's interesting that that has, I think it's been suggested before, how many years ago? 2 years ago. There was a recommendation through a consulting firm that this that got paid for by the city to do a horizontal well. So why would we engage LCRA without trying to solve our own water situation first? So $82,000 over 2 years would pay for that. Would pay for somebody to come in and draw.
Thank you. Okay. Discussion and consider action terms. Well, I've already read that. So, Finley, what would you like to add to this?
Just a few comments, Mayor, from a couple of different sources, and hopefully to provide a little bit of clarity. I'm appreciative of everybody in this room and in this town that's concerned about water, because it's something that we need to be concerned about. You did receive the LCRA response in your packet. It was circulated among many folks in their department. My comment on their response was that it was a fairly accurate memo, and it did answer many of the scenarios that were asked by the city. What this contract does is that it, according to the email from LCRA, that it increases our ability to capture flows when otherwise we would be required to release those flows. It certainly doesn't say that they're going to be trucking water to Mason so it flows to Lampasas. It also has the ability to increase our storage above currently allowed. If a permit for additional storage is sought, it would likely require a contract from a senior water right holder. The drought triggers, I think there's a lot of concern, and some of it's genuine about, why are the drought triggers based on the lake levels of Buchanan and Travis. And it's simply a state requirement. Everybody has to do a DCP and a WCP. It's something that LCRA does, and all of its firm water customers also have to comply with. And it was certainly my experience when I was on the Brazos River Authority and working through their drought contingency, we all had to utilize some of their triggers in our DCP and our WCP. I also had the opportunity to talk with the city's water attorney and ask for her comments. I supplied her with the response from LCRA. And I'm not saying you have to agree with this, but she said it's she wasn't surprised. It's fairly standard. She agreed with the email. She also said, yeah, you're going to have to adopt the same triggers that they use. The reference to Buchanan levels and lake level and Travis levels was not surprising. It was a measure of the drought severity. We also talked about the state water plan as well as a regional water plan. We're in Region K, the state plan, and the city does on paper have a shortage. And that's also further explained in the Freeze and Nichols document. In our ability, lack of contracted firm water. She also said that she agrees with the conclusions and recommendation of the Freeze and Nichols technical memo. And just a few bullet points from that document, which I think council probably has looked at before. And if you feel like you need to dust it off, and if we need to invite somebody from Freeze and Nichols to come to a future meeting and go over any questions you might have, I can certainly reach out. The city contracted with Freeze and Nichols in May of 24 for reliability analysis. The basis of the measure of reliability was a TCEQ water availability model, or a WAM. So when you hear WAM, that's kind of the standard tool that the state uses and regional water planning groups use in order to measure, you know, how much available water do we have in our system. And I think the one criticism maybe you could have of the WAM is that it's very conservative. You know, you want to plan for the worst case scenario. And so some of the methodology you see, you say, well, you know, that probably won't ever happen. But that's the basis of their planning documents. It uses the total water under permit based on priority. It's very conservative. It's used as the basis for all regional planning. It is a comprehensive evaluation of water availability. Some of the assumptions that the WAM uses, it is a diversion of the full amount of permit. We know every year the city of Plano doesn't divert 100% of their permit. But the basis for this is if you want 100% of your water, you have to plan for everybody wanting 100% of their water down. It also uses the methodology, it's a continuous call on water. And it also includes some environmental flow standards. And that's in lockstep with, like I said, the regional and state plan. In all fairness, Plano has made a non-municipal call on water in 2011. There have been no priority calls that have ever been made on Plano by a senior water right holder. When I was in Lampasas, Dow Chemical made a call, and that did impact our city. But it was something that was managed through TCEQ. It wasn't a terrible thing. But I have been on that end of it, where a downstream has made a call on our water use. Just to give you an idea of what the potential impact, if you use the WAM methodologies, currently Town Lake or City Lake has 200 acre feet of storage with a 1914 day. In theory, according to the WAM model, you could refill those 200 acre feet after all senior rights downstream were satisfied. We have 183 acre feet on City Lake with a 1956 priority date. And again, if you modeled it for a
worst case, or where there's a continuous call, you could refill that additional 183 acre feet after the downstream senior rights were satisfied. Park Lake, 317 acre feet, and again, 1956, so after the senior rights were handled and you could refill the Park Lake. And so we say, well, we have X number of acre feet in there, but you know, right now we have, according to the 2022 bathymetric study, we have a little over 1,000 acre feet. And we know that's a moving target. Stuff gets scoured out, new silt comes in. But our storage of 700 acre feet, and again, according to the way the WAM would look at this, is you're holding 356 acre feet of somebody else's water. Does that mean that somebody's going to knock on your door? Not without a catastrophic event. All of those assumptions that are made within the WAM model. The Friesen and Nichols report also modeled a number of different scenarios with the flashboards, with unauthorized additional storage. So one of the things that they point out is if you build an additional reservoir, you really couldn't get a permit to store that water because you don't have any firm water. The water is all used up in the basin. The conclusions and recommendations of the Friesen and Nichols report was that, you know, any new authorization does not increase the reliability. It would give you some limited availability of unappropriated water. So, again, does that situation ever come up? I think that's one thing that you get the big bucks to try to decide. Is that?
Yeah.
The height of the dam, in and of itself, does not improve firm yield under strict priority assumption. When no inflows are sent to senior rights, it is fully reliable, right? So unless they call for it, it's reliable. But if it is called for, in theory, you've got to push that water over the dam. The city is vulnerable to priority calls, but again, no calls have ever been made on the city. And then again, new storage. So to make up for that additional 300 acre feet of storage, if you wanted to permit that with TCEQ, they likely would not consider that unless you have a firm water contract with somebody downstream that would allow you to store that amount. The other recommendations from the Friesen Nichols report is, you know, negotiate with the downstream senior water right holder to capture flows. Again, all you're doing is talking about capturing the flow and being able to store it more than your 700 acre feet of storage. And your 700 acre feet of storage, of course, still has that priority date on it. And they also recommend amend TCEQ storage permit with an agreement with the downstream water right holder. The other couple of real quick items I point out is I believe the contract is a 540, which means you would have a 5-year opt-out. It is based on very conservative assumptions. There was an impoundment, I think, that was proposed on the James River a few years ago. And I think people got excited about it, as they should be, because they were going to be using somebody else's water in a nutshell. And it's a similar thing. We're not permitted to use it. We haven't ever been asked to send any downstream. But I think it does provide some certainty in the city's position. It's ultimately up to council to point us in the right direction. And certainly, if you want to hear more comment either from the city's water attorney or Friesen Nichols, I'd be happy to try to get that prepared for you. I think the big thing in my mind is how likely are all these assumptions in the WAM model going to be? If this is something that was really ramping up and there were a lot, you know, yeah, it would make all the sense in the world. I think
it still provides some certainty to the city in terms of being able to capture the water. But with that, we'll go any direction you'd like us to go.
Okay. Question, Ben Lincoln. How is this going to affect our acceptance of the grant? Because I know at this point we wanted to raise the dam. In search of doing that, we've had to do this. And now that we've found out we're having to do this, it's kind of going to affect our, you know, raising of the dam. And there, so it just is a domino effect.
Yeah, I think that in a lot of this, it's kind of if and then. Mm-hmm. Like, if this happens, then we do this. I'm not sure about the conditions of the precise conditions of the grant. However, my understanding is that, I mean, some of it is just going to be used to be able to assess and rehab the dam as it sits now.
Right. And then also in that instance, I don't think it's contingent upon the grant for the dam because we're already above our permitted storage as is.
And I agree with that right now, but every time we do a bathymetric survey, it changes. So there have been times in the past where we are actually not holding as much water as we currently were when that survey was done. So that changes so rapidly with every flood. Well, I don't know if y'all have any more. Anybody has any more questions? If not, I have a motion.
Okay, I'll take a motion.
I make a motion that the council consider to cease negotiation with LCRA on a firm water contract and postpone future consideration with the WCP and the DCP.
I second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second.
Reread the motion.
Can you read it again?
It's the one that's written here. Council consider to cease negotiations with LCRA.
Okay.
Did you come from
one? I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
You go on. I've got a couple of comments.
So, you know, I think Finley provided a lot of good information, and I think, you know, my personal opinion is I myself am not ready to vote on this without having an additional discussion with people to put together a report to talk through some of the exact things he's mentioned. Like, what are the likelihoods? Like, what is the trend going for consumption? And, you know, our likelihood now versus our likelihood in 10 years of somebody calling Senior Water Rights. I think we really need to, my personal opinion is we really need to put a little bit more and be certain, because I'm just at the point where I'm becoming more familiar with the exact, you know, Finley's, the facts of the situation, and Finley's bullet points this evening started filling in some of the gaps where it's been a little while since we've had the report, and there was a little bit of discussion during that point in time, but it was still very, very early in the game. And I just feel like this is a perfect opportunity to give us a chance. You know, we tried to reach out to LCRA, but they're the person we're trying to get the contract with. I mean, I think the best person to answer these questions is a water rights attorney or the people that put together the report itself, where we have definitive information on if-then scenarios and what we could be, not whether, you know, in a discussion on the likelihood of such action. But that's my personal opinion.
Okay, thank you. Travis?
A few things. First of all, you know what? Kara probably has gotten beat up a little bit more than she deserves, in my opinion, on this. Yes, she works for LCRA. I personally value her opinion. I find she's a very prudent person. Doesn't mean I've agreed with everything that she agrees with, but I do respect her. Your education or professional background, and I would encourage the council to take it, whatever she's legally able to comment on. I think as we talk about water, I would at least listen to what she has to say. You know, what the scenarios we're talking about ultimately, I think, would in essence result in a humanitarian crisis. And I do believe that in my lifetime that that's going to happen in various places in the United States. So water is an extremely important thing for us to get our hands around. I feel like we've done this a little bit piecemeal, maybe, at least in my 9 months on the council. Really what we need is a comprehensive plan, and that, revolves around things like dredging and retention. It may or may not, involve things like, additional firm right water capture. It may involve something like a underground tunnel or underground horizontal well. But I think we have to look at it comprehensively, and then we understand what the trade-offs are and things like, okay, if we want to store more water, do we need to then get the firm water commitment to, in order to do so? But approaching it piecemeal, I'm afraid that we'll end up in a less than optimal outcome, and therefore that's the reason that, my position is that we need to cease negotiation at this time. Does that mean in 6 months or a year that we need to resume it? Maybe so, once we have that comprehensive plan fully baked.
Okay. Anything else? All right. I have a motion to cease negotiations with LCRA on a firm water contract and to postpone future considerations of the draft WCP and DCP. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay. 3-1. Motion carries. Discuss and number 6, discuss and consider action to assign Steger and Bissell Engineering to CHA Consulting Incorporated. Finley?
Mayor and Council, we received notification from Steger and Bissell. This does not commit us to anything in the future. It just maintains our current staffing relationship with Steger and Bissell. However, CHA is now joined their firm, or they have joined the CHA firm.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to authorize the city manager to accept the consent that assignment of contract to Steger and Bissell Engineering to CHA Consulting.
Okay, I have a motion.
A second.
Okay, the motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Kara, financial report. Did she leave? She went away. She's hiding. Oh, okay. We'll come back to that. No? Kara? Oh. Okay. Financial report.
We just put a financial for December and a check register for
March. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for including that in our packet. All right. Finley, city manager report.
Been up here almost as much as Michael has.
Not quite.
Mayor and Council, just a few brief comments on the memo that's included in your packet. Plumber has responded to the inquiry that Council asked we made regarding their amended price. And a couple things I want to point out. One is their previous cost for this service was supplemented by the fact that Josh did a lot of the utility profile. They have included a utility profile in the amendment. They said, absolutely, if we take that out, and I think you've got a copy of the email they sent me, you can take that out, that'll save you some money. You don't want us down here quite as much, so it's just a matter of taking a look at what savings we could have through the scope, and the memo at your desk kind of provides you that input. Water use, we just wanted to report that future water use by city entities will be allocated. CARES already gone down that path. We believe that this will be budget neutral. However, it should provide some greater accountability and transparency on water use. Historic Preservation Board met on the 29th to consider two cases in the historic district. The board affirmed both cases met the HPB design standards, including the addition of a second story on the East Main Street business and including inclusion of an advertisement marketing kiosk within the door frame on West Main Street. The board workshopped additional inclusions and amendments to the ordinance itself. And the one thing that we just want to make sure that everybody understands is just because they get through the Historic Preservation Board, and their design meets the design standards. That's really maybe the first step. They still got to submit appropriate plans for us to go forward. Traffic control barriers on the low water crossing on Sandstone. The staff continues to look at options for those. The could not, based on the barriers that were identified, could not accommodate the width of the pavement. And we want to make sure that we can isolate traffic from both sides, both directions, because sometimes people, if there's a little opening, they'll slip through and do something they're not supposed to. City has been approached by a business prospect regarding conveyance of right-of-way on the west side of Bessemer Highway 16. We have talked to TxDOT, and they have field verified, and verified maybe isn't the correct word. They have approximated that right-of-way from the highway, and it also includes some dedicated city highway from the original plat. We want to go ahead and take a look at that dedication, as well as we've looked at the dedication, and we want to just double check the procedure, the city procedures, as well as the statutory requirements. We will put that on a future agenda, but I think we also want to be mindful of the timing of conveyance of the property from the current owner to the prospect. You've got another spreadsheet of action steps related to the council work plan. I would like to maybe button this up and bring it back on the 16th of February, unless council has a lot of corrections or unless you want to sit down and go over a lot of it again. And I'm certainly happy to do that. Reach out to me, phone, email, however you like, if you've got some things that you think are appropriate to include or appropriate to at least put on the table and discuss with the rest of council. That's all I have.
All right.
Oh, it's the 17th?
Yes, the 16th is Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Okay, it is 7:53, and we're out of here. Thank you all.